You might like to turn in your Bible to the Book of Lamentations. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence, in the light of your awesome person, that we have the benefit of doing business with you. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for everything, God. Thanks the Lord. Even now, Spirit of God, in Christ's name, amen. In our looking this morning, we had to do looking at leaving. As we start a new year, we have to leave the past and proceed into the future. We have no choice, and we share together, you can't measure time, actually. And you can't hold time. You can't hold it. And here's a second, one and two, here's a second. A second, and I try to grab the second, one and two and three, but it disappears. It becomes four and five and six. I can never have it. I can't hold time. I can't have it. So time, since we really, when you're down to it, has to do with our human perception. That's how we measure time. We read the clock. We use the clock. But the clock isn't telling time. Can't tell time in that sense. It isn't used for time. In the big picture, it isn't used. God doesn't use the clock. Doesn't use the clock. So here we are looking. And that's our human thing. We shared all that this morning in Sunday school and morning worship. So we're leaving the past. And in the light, as we shared, easy thing to remember, here's 2022, and 2022 is put aside, and now we're in 2023. That's where we are. This has already happened, and a week ago, and this part is already gone. We're in the middle of the end of the day. The first day of the year. Now, and having said that, and leaving the past, and what do we do in leaving the past? We leave, and when we do all this, probably, to remind us of what we're doing. God, as we shared last time, last week, God is the giver. He's the only God and only Savior. God is the giver. The giver, God, gives his Son. That's the gift. The giver gives the gift of his Son, which is himself. And the giver gives the gifts of his Son. And the gift of his Son brings us and gives us a unique, wonderful relationship to the giver, God. And thus you have the whole ball of wax. You have everything all wrapped up in the awesome, wonderful person of God in Christ. We got the whole thing in one package. That's where it all is. And we share together in the light of time and all relativity and all those things we looked at. All of that, having looked at that. So God has all of time. All of time. I shouldn't even use time. God has all of it, and all of it as we shared, Einstein's theory, etc., relativity, that all of it, the outworking, we can't measure time, and it's the outworking of the awesome now, N-O-W. Everything is now, and we share together looking at the map. Here's a map of a different country, our country in different ways, and here's the map. And I'll use New England, since you know that. Here's New England. And I can see all of New England in one shot. I can see New York, the border of New York. I can see the top of Maine. I can see the whole thing. When do I see it? Now. Right now, I'm looking at this. Now, God, you're looking at this. I'm looking at it. And in looking at it, do you know if I could have it, someone up here in Maine is out there fishing out in the night. Right now. Right now, they're out there. Someone here in New Hampshire's having a late pizza dinner. Right now. Here we are, sitting here, right now. Everything going on in this New England is right now. It can't be later. It's right now. And it's all happening now. No difference, like we did with the going to Mars, etc. It's all happening now. And that's how God doesn't have any time. God sees, understands everything now. God sees everything going on all at once now. That's what he does. To do it another way, maybe, that would help you, maybe, in doing it, here's using the book. And here's all the pages of creation. Here they are. And I have, then, if I can make believe, I have all of creation. I have Genesis 1:1. I have everything all at once. I have all of creation. I have everything that's happening everywhere recorded for me. And I can turn the page and go anywhere I want to find any part of history and what's going on. I can do that. Now, I can do that. God has all of that, just like I fumbled trying to say it to you. God has all of that understood. You and I are living like this. This is our now. But all the rest of this is now. Do you understand? It's all now to God. Even though, and we talk about our now, in the light of time, past, present, and future, we talk about it now. But this second is becoming this second. And this second, you can't stop it. It's all now. Yesterday's, this morning when you got up, was now. Now is now. When doesn't now become now? How's that? When doesn't now become now? You have to think about it because we just don't do it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, I think with that little bit, if I confuse you, then we're all set. So, Lamentations. We're looking at leaving the past with understanding, with thanksgiving. We leave yesterday, it's all gone. This morning, the pizza's all gone. We finished it. It's all over. No more. Now, you still carry it in your digestive system. That's a now. But it's not on your plate now. That now is gone. The next now is your digestive system. And that is... Now, Lamentations, here's Israel. Israel had a horrible, horrible exercise in their unbelief, God leveling the city by Nebuchadnezzar. And Lamentations is looking at it as if Lamentations is like being Jerusalem and looking. And Jerusalem says, woe is me. What happened to me? Now, how do we respond to when it's all now, it's no more. The city's leveled, the temple's gone, all of it's there. All of that now is gone. Now, what do we know? What do we do? We have to leave the past. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. remembering my affliction, and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. It was a horrible, horrible time. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is numbered in me. In other words, I can't forget yesterday. Yesterday is still in my mind. Things that happened are still there. Think of what we did this morning. My soul, verse 21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is, what is it? It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. I'm at least sitting here looking at the ruins. I see the ruins. It's an awesome thing. But that isn't my now. Now I'm looking at the ruins. Yesterday I was looking at the buildings. Now I'm looking at the ruins. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. God, I'm still alive. Verse 23. We are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. So I got out of bed. If I went to bed, I see what's happening. But now, a new morning, the seconds, the time, the clock has all gone by. I can't retain it. I can't keep it. It's all gone. No matter how I do it, it's all gone. I'm moving forward. Therefore, verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith the Lord my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's all gone. Yesterday's gone. You can't touch it. Good or bad, right or wrong, no matter what it is, it's gone. And we're moving forward. We're in a new moment in history. A new now. Yesterday's now becomes my today's now. And today's now becomes tomorrow's now. Because it's all now. God sees the whole picture. He sees your life before you were ever born, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth. God sees you. You haven't even been created. God already has you in mind and has died on the cross to save you. He's counted you. He's the Lamb of God slain. He's already got it in order. He sees you haven't even started. But God has now, he has you born when you were born with your parents in world history. Here we are now. God has our birth. Here we are moving through time in our nows, outworking. And we're going into tomorrow. God already has tomorrow. God already has us at our death, if the Lord tarries. God already has us. He has the whole thing now. And that's what I need to understand, so that when I'm looking at a given moment in my life, like now, this now must yield to the next now. It must be God sees the whole thing, the whole picture, the whole New England states. He sees it all at once. I need to understand that. Now, having said, so we leave the past with understanding, and we leave it with thanksgiving. We leave it with God. That's what you have to do. Don't make a choice. You can try to carry it, as we shared this morning, and what will become is an overload, and it will pile up on top of you, and you're carrying a whole lot of stuff that has to be left in behind. Everything that God has is in the whole now that he has for you. The now that he has from the day he saw you, you weren't even created. The day you were born, the day you die, the day you're there in God's eternal heaven if you're saved. That's all one wonderful now to God. One now. It all has its little parts which we're working out now. So, in the light of that, in the light of that. So working out, living, we need to be living in the present with understanding and with thanksgiving. We need to be living in the present. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And we're to go and look to God. When do we look to God? We have what kind of life? We have physical life. What do we do with physical life? Physical life is in the process of dying. So the heartbeats you had yesterday are all used up, and you're going to the next, you got a whole package of them, God knows, the count of your breaths and your heartbeat, and they're all there, but they all have to disappear, because God has a wonderful plan. So God gave you physical birth in order to be on planet Earth, so that you can enjoy God's eternal heaven. Your journey, the reason you're alive now isn't to be here. Time answers to eternity. Eternity is the ball game. That's the ball game, eternity. That's where we're headed, to God's awesome forever. This is only a moment. I need to get that clear in my head so that I don't make here and now, which is what if I leave God out, then all I have, communism, socialism, Marxism, and everything else, I have to make it work. This is it. This is my only now. And I'm going to do anything and everything that keeps it, because I don't have a now. I don't have tomorrow. I don't understand anything like that. All I know is now. There is no God. There is no future. We're just an overgrown plant, etc., etc. So everything's now, but the wrong now. Now, over if I can, please, in the light of that, over if I can to 1 John. And remember now, we're looking for living in the present moment, in God's wonderful grace. And in 1 John, we're going to go and live. Now, how are we going to live in the present moment in the light of our old nature, in the light of the world we live in, the dark, evil world, with all of its hard things and difficult things? How are we going to go and make it? So therefore, in 1 John, God tells us very easily. And remember in 1 John, go over to chapter 5, and in verse 12, just to lock it in, chapter 5 and verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Life is a unique relationship to God, made possible by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, what did you receive? You received a relationship to God. The relationship to God is timeless. There is no time to your relationship to God. You have a relationship to your body that's governed by time, as it were. We're in the process of dying. That's true. But when God gave you, that's death. God gave you life. The life is in His Son. The life is the gift of God. The gift of God brings the God who gives the gift into your life. And thus you have a relationship to God that lasts forever. It is timeless. You have eternal life. You don't have more of it. You can't drink more, eat more, do more, say more to have more of it. You already have it. Where is it located? In its totality, in His Son. In His Son. Where is my life now? It is in the person of God in Christ, in the heart of the believer. That's my relationship. It has nothing to do with time, nothing to do with anything. It just has to do with God's awesome, wonderful person, God. Now, so therefore, 1 John, back over to chapter 1, that which you know, but put it together again in your heart. In verse 3, why is 1 John written? That we might have fellowship, verse 3, that which we have seen, said the Apostle John, the last living apostle, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that purpose you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. A unique, wonderful relationship you're to live. Living in the present moment is an exercise of having and enjoying your relationship to God. Verse 4, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, that you might be able to exercise in a dark, hard, dark, difficult day, be able to exercise your life, your relationship to God. And how are you going to do it? Well, in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do lie and do not the truth. So we can't say, God, I have a wonderful life, but I'm trusting everything but you. And I'm governed by how I understand you, how I want to employ you in my thinking, whether I want to include you or not in my thoughts, whatever I'm doing. Do I want to recognize my relationship to you? If I don't want to do that, then I don't enjoy that. So verse 7, so what do we do knowing we got this old nature that's up and down, off and on? Verse 7. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we aren't looking at ourselves, we're living in the present, trusting God who gives us his wonderful life, a unique relationship that has nothing to do with time. Everything is a permanent now with him. Now, I can't have more, can't have less. It's not going to get bigger, smaller. It's not going to disappear. My relationship to God is always now. God is timeless. It can never be. I can never have less. I need to trust God so that I can enjoy that. That's what we just read in verse 4. These are written so that you can enjoy.
Enjoy.
What do you mean? Do you understand? You have an awesome relationship to God.
Well, boy, I don't know it.
Do you look to God? Do you read? Do you trust? Do you understand? Did you receive him as your Savior? I don't know if you didn't. But how are we going to live? They say, you aren't good enough. We're never good enough. And we're never going to fix every stupid thing in our little head, in our heart. We aren't going to do it. That's what's going to take God take us home, to get out of this body. But what can we do? We can walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So God, I'm not counting, say it, you're not counting on yourself, you're not counting on your family, you're not counting on anything, anyone, anywhere, anyhow. You're counting on God, period. And when you do that, watch how free you get. When you totally are trusting God plus zero, not yourself, not your thoughts, not your dreams, not your ambitions, you're trusting God. Boom. That's what God waits for. He wants you to give him, to love God with your what? Whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. God's going to love you with his whole heart, mind, and strength. You love him with all your whole heart. It's a relationship. Now. So, I've said that and keeping that in mind, so I'm living in the present with understanding, living in the present with thanksgiving, we ought to do that, looking to God in a most wonderful way. Now, over if I can to Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 5, and you will note with thanksgiving. So, and I'm going to slide down directly to verse 19. 5 and 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's your relationship. It isn't a sour, it isn't a silly relationship. It's a real one to a holy God. How could you have a relationship to a holy God? Because I received His Son. His Son saved me. His Son paid the price for my sin. I was given the gift of His Son. When I had His Son, I found God as my Father. Now, having said that, how do we appreciate God then? In verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. Always. So your now is up and down, bad time, bad. You could have a bad, all kinds of things. And it happens. But that's only, as we shared this morning, a moment. And the clock ticks away, and what just happened, what was just said, is all gone. You're in the next now, and now, and now. And everything that was the now of yesterday becomes the now of today. And the now of today becomes the now of tomorrow. All of it working out your now. The whole ball game of why God created you. Now, having said that, so then thanks, thank you. So if you try to think about it, what do you think? Can you think of anything? Any time better. Can you think of any time not to thank God? What times have you had? Easy, hard, little, much? Well, I don't want to thank God. There was no time, there is no time that you don't thank God for all things, all nows, no matter how they look, no matter how they feel. God is exercising His marvelous relationship to you if you're saved, and you are to be enjoying it. Therefore, Ephesians chapter 5. And, I've got to do that a little differently. Over to Ephesians and chapter, verse 14, 5 and 14, the first part. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. What do we need? We're children. We're to walk in the light as He is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. So wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. That's what it says. Wake thou that sleepest. Wake up. Well, you're sort of dull of hearing. Wake up to what your relationship is. To exercise it. Otherwise, you're losing. Like the clock we did with the spider, and it's going to go, and he keeps trying to make his web, and over again, 21 days, he tries it, and in the process, he quits. But what did he find out? There's no sense in what he's trying to do to make his web in a clock that's moving. You're wasting your time. We waste a lot of our time without knowing it. Where we leave God out. Now, don't tell me you have to have some super thing to do. God told you, whether you, 1 Corinthians 10, whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, do it to my glory and honor. I want you to live an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. That's what I want you to do. I want you to live your normal life in your same refrigerator, the same bed, the same everything, only I am your life. And you're going to enjoy each moment now as you outwork it. Now, having said that, in the light of that. Therefore, verse 15, so then, so that you may walk, what are you going to do, wake up, so in the light, so that you may walk circumspectly, most carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming, buying up the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Understand. Don't wake up. Wake up. Understand the day isn't a good day. It's not going to be any better. And buy up the opportunities. Don't be like the spider. And you keep going around, 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 and wake up. And when you wake up, you're about to die, and you wasted your whole life. Not your whole life. You wasted all your time in doing and being without enjoying the trip down the corridor of time with God. Think of all the lovely things in Genesis, the Garden of Eden. God walked with Adam and Eve. God walked with Noah. God walked with Abraham. God walked with Enoch. God walks down the corridor of time. We're to have a wonderful relationship in the outworking of the nows, of the moments of my life. And as I perceive them, I perceive getting changing. I perceive the world around me changing. That's how we use time. Time, perception, change. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, open to Ephesians in chapter 3. And in Ephesians in chapter 3, picking up if I can, and I'll read verse 19 a little bit. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So that means you aren't going to understand all the things that we're trying to think about now. You aren't going to understand them. You try to understand them. I understand them a little bit like that. And you understand them like that. But the wonderfulness of this, wow. Otherwise, you'd be jumping out of your seat in a good way. That's what you'd be doing. You'd be one excited crowd. And if you walk down the street, the people would say, what's wrong with him? And they'd put you in the funny house up there. Because I said, there's no one's like that. You'd be so. Think if God didn't give Paul a physical problem. Paul would have been so delighted having seen and been in God's presence in heaven, in the third heaven. Do you know how hard it would have been for Paul to talk to us? He'd be way up here, and he'd say, you dummies. See, he'd use like John the Baptist, you hypocrites, you know, full of dead men's bones. He'd use that. He'd say, "You, what's wrong with you?" See? But we don't have that. So therefore, chapter 3, the love of God, to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to be an awesome God. And he's going to outwork everything in a most awesome way. That's what he's going to do. So as we go from a now to next moment, now, 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 what are we doing? We're working out now. We're working out God's wonderful plan for my heart and your heart now. There it is. It's all there. All there. And I'm down here. I'm down here working it out, like in the book. I'm working it out. God, I see it. I see it. I see it. I'm working it out. That's what I'm doing. It's all finished. And I want to exercise it now. So therefore, Romans chapter 8. We're looking at living in the present with understanding, with thanksgiving, and just to try a couple of things that just help maybe a little more. In Romans and chapter 8. Would you please note, if I can, verse 18, chapter 8. And I'm going to do 17 because that's your relationship that makes 18 so wonderful. 8:17. If children, then heirs, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. With Christ, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We have to work out our now. God doesn't save you and take you to heaven. The thief on the cross had that. He had a wonderful moment. He was there, and the next minute he was with God in his paradise. Now, but, verse 18, for I reckon the suffering, being on planet Earth, going through one thing after another, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, in us. So God, you're doing, what am I looking for? God is outworking now. He's outworking. How? You're on planet Earth, and you're going through all the things like we shared this morning. You're going through all them. That's all right. That's all right. That's how you're learning. And therefore, over to chapter 8, in the light of that, verse 28, we know that all, everything is all. Wouldn't you like to find something that's just part of it? God says, I have given you all blessings in Christ. I've given you my life, all of it. The relationship, all of it. You don't get more of it. You exercise what I've given you, a unique relationship to God. And if you exercise it, what do you have? You need to understand, and you're learning now. You're learning the now by the nows. Therefore, verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love God, even to them that are called according to his purpose. And that is to be conformed to the image of his Son, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. However, moreover, whom he did predestinate, mark out ahead of time, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. He glorified him. God's going to do a wonderful thing. Everything is to do to the glory of God. That's what God is doing. And everything is there. Now, that's all wonderful. Now, having said that, and you stop, all things work together for good. We're going to suffer no matter what it is. It's going to turn around, verse 18, to God's glory and honor. So, God, I'm going to go through whatever, learn whatever, and help me to grow, know, and understand. Now, God, what else do I know? If I go, verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God's for you. Can't have more than that. Which side? Which side are you on, God? You're on God. You're on your own side, God. Think of Joshua. Whose side are you on? God said, I'm on my own side. I'm doing what I have to do, and I'm going to do it because of my glory and honor. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up on death on the cross, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? All things. That you never say a few. Always all. Because why? The gift is God's son, given by the giver, God. And the gift given by God the giver is what? Full of God. You can't have more of God. You can't have less than God. Less of God. You're to enjoy God in a unique and marvelous way. So therefore, who can be against us? And if God in Christ gives you himself, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. All things. I said, I don't have. You got everything. That's why God, yeah, what do you want? Now, the average churchgoer has no sense of this. The average person has no sense of this. Now, God, so what do we have? An awesome relationship to you. Don't you know I've made it over to 1 Corinthians 3. You know, we read it. We don't grab a hold of the meaning of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, picking up if I may. And in the process, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise that they are vain. Therefore, encouragement to the believing heart, Corinthians. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Don't get all excited about what we can do and not do. There's Paul, Apollos, Cephas, Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. All are yours in the now. No matter what you go through, it's all yours now. How so? Next statement, verse 23. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. And when God gave you his son, he took you and gave you, he took you for every, to give you all of his wonderful, wonderful worth and wealth and weight, his glory. To give you all of that glory, all of that wonderment, God did it. And where is it locked in? And why is it there? Why is not God? We aren't God. I'm not going by time. You don't go by time. You go by your perception and the changes that happen. And that's what you're looking at. We call it time. We use time. But in the process, what are you doing, God? I'm outworking a wonderful plan. And the plan I'm outworking involves, I'm the center of it, said God. Peter, James, Paul, kings, pharaohs, Caesars, it doesn't make any difference. I'm working it all out. Why? Because all of it in the now of God, in the now, the whole thing, and now, God said, that includes the kings, the prophets, the Caesars. They're all there. And I'm working it out now. And by the way, that now involves you. Your now. In the now of what I'm doing. Now. And all of a sudden, we then what? Are going to look. Looking to the future. Leaving the past. Living in the present in God's wonderful person and looking to the future. God, here we are. I understand a little bit, God, now of where I'm going. So as I work through, I'm looking to you. Now, I'm waiting for you. Therefore, if you would, looking to the future with understanding, with thanksgiving, looking to God's wonderful, wonderful grace. Over to Colossians. Your future in Christ. And in Colossians. And in chapter 1. You will notice, if I can, in verse 27, in the light of the context, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is this marvelous thing that God is doing in his grace? Among the Gentiles, that's us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the wonderful anticipation and expectation of glory. All of it, we read Romans 8:18, the suffering is for the glory. Everything has to come out. Everything has to come out. For what? For God's glory, in the light of the now that God has in mind. Everything, all, everything has to work out. No matter how it looks, it has to work out for now. For God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful glory. That's what it has to do. So what about my future? My future is secure and sure in God's wonderful person. I can leave the past. Christ has already taken care of it and died on the cross, forgiven our sin, put it aside forever to give us a unique, eternal relationship to God. So I leave my past with the Lord who took care of it, is taking care of it. I have my present to live with a wonderful Savior in the now, in the outworking of now, in my work, my home, my school, my coming, my health, my wealth. Here we are, outworking it in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And here's what we're looking for. As we're outworking, living in the present, we're looking for the future. And what about the future? Christ in me is the future. He is the future. We've said it over the years, you know. God already has, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God brought heaven into your heart. He brought heaven. He is heaven. He makes heaven heaven. He brought it into your heart. So Christ in me, Christ in you, the believing heart, the hope of glory. God, we're looking. Over to John chapter 14. All kinds of ways, but just put a couple of things together if you can that may help you, remind you anyway. Here we are going into a new year and all that lies ahead. Chapter 14, John, the encouragement, you know it, probably quote it. John chapter 14, our Lord is trying to encourage the believers that are going to go and see him go out and get crucified. Chapter 14, remember, and the Peter's going to go and deny the Lord, but chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I wouldn't bother telling you, by the way. I don't bother telling you anything if it isn't true. I don't waste my time giving you words. I'm telling you what it is. Therefore, I wouldn't have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. So God, I'm here. I'm in the working out of the now. But the now includes me, because God isn't interested in saving time. Revelation 21, 1 and 2. God is completely going to change everything. He's going to take away every galaxy, the billions of them, and every star and every animal and everything, all gone. He's going to make it new. But he's going to save you if you're saved. A new heavens and a new earth, all gone. You're here for God's wonderful, wonderful eternity, to enjoy God. That's why God had you physically born, so that you could turn around and honor him and be saved and know him. John chapter 14, if it were not so, I wouldn't tell you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's where I want you. So if I was going to look to God, and I could ask Peter, James up there, if I could do that, would you find out what God's after? And God said, God's waiting for you. God's waiting for you. That's what he's doing. And I want you to do this, communion, in remembrance of me. Don't forget me. I'm waiting for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm waiting. Chapter 17. And then 17, picking up, please, if I can. In verse 24, you would know God's wonderful, wonderful thing. Verse 24, remember we just did that. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. God is waiting for us there in his perfect humanity, seated at the right hand of God, in the light of his wonderful person. He's waiting. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for us to be there. That's his now. That's where we're going. That's now. Mm-hmm. But I have to get there in my nows, that they, verse 24, may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want them to see what a wonderful thing I've done. I brought them the gift that's been given by the giver, and the giver giving the gift has given everything of himself. I want you to see the glory. That's what I want. I want you to understand what I have done in creating you in my image and my likeness to enjoy me. That's what I want. That's what God wants. You wonder what God wants? God's delighted to do and be everything and all that we need. Therefore, we're looking for that blessed hope, the immediate, we're waiting for God's coming. That's what we're doing. Do this until I come, right? Communion. Do this until I come. I'm coming. Don't forget me. Now, having said that, there's a little poem, that goes like this relationship. It's an awesome, I wish I could do it better for you, but the time, even if I had 1,000 years, I couldn't do it better for you anyway. I'd have to go to heaven and then you don't need me. You just have it. Wow. So now, God, what have we got in this unique relationship? God is so nigh, so very nigh, so very nigh are we near to God. I cannot, you cannot nearer be, for in the person of his Son, you are as near as he. You can't be closer to God than the Son. You're in the Son, in God, in Christ. You can't get closer. So dear, so very dear to God, more dear I cannot be, the love wherewith he loves his Son, such is his love to me. We did all that in John 17. Gone. That's a unique thing. Leaving the past, God got it. We're living in the present. We're living in the present to enjoy God's wonderful presence and his outworking of now. And we're looking for what? His soon, imminent return. And it doesn't go by the clock. It goes by now. It goes by his now. That's when he's coming. That's why all the references use present tense. I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. Why don't you say, you're coming in 10 years? You don't say that. I'm coming. Because that's what, I'm not working with your clock. I'm working with my time, my now, as it were, not time. I'm working with what I'm doing. I see the whole thing. I'm doing the whole thing. And I know just where you are as you trust me as I outwork the whole thing. Wow.